It is difficult afterwards because the faith, the surrender, the courage requisite in the path are not easy to the ego-clouded soul. If you don't have the faith, enough faith in the leading of the Master, and then Master says, now you proceed. But the faith is not there, therefore we give up. We don't move forward. Surrender is not there, therefore we do not move forward. The courage is not there, therefore we don't move forward. These are the blockades as to why we cannot recognize the Master and cannot allow him to work in our life. The ego cannot see where it is being led. It revolts against the leading, loses confidence, loses courage. But the Divine Master therefore does not leave you. Because you do not follow his leading, he is not offended. He continues in his own way, even through your revolts, even through your loss of courage or of faith, he continues because he is deeply interested in you, even more interested than we may be interested in him, because he knows who you are and what you are and why you are. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo says, the divine guide within us is not offended by our revolt. He is not discouraged by our want of faith or repelled by our weakness. He has the entire love of the mother and the entire patience of the teacher. But by withdrawing our assent from the guidance, we lose the consciousness, though not all the actuality, not in any case the eventuality of its benefits. As we withdraw our assent, and we withdraw our assent because we fail to distinguish our higher self from the lower, through which is preparing his self-revelation. As in the world, so in ourselves, we cannot see God because of his workings, and especially because he works in us through our nature, and not by a succession of arbitrary miracles. It's a very special method of God. We want to see miracles to believe in God, but God precisely does not do it because he wants to prepare your nature. If only miracles happen, your nature will not be trained. You will not be able to see even in the leaf of a tree the miracle of God, because it is so familiar. You will see only in a miracle you will see God, but not in the leaves, in the ordinary ripple of a river, in a smile of a child. All these are very familiar, very small things in life. And this is what God wants to tell you. Not only in extraordinary events he is present, but even in ordinary events, God is everywhere, omnipresent. It is that which he wants to teach you, so why should he do miracles? He doesn't teach you by a succession of arbitrary miracles. Man demands miracles that he may have faith. He wishes to be dazzled in order that he may see. One day a disciple went to the mother and said, Mother, so many teachers are doing so many miracles. Why don't you give miracles to the people? So she said, what miracle do you want to see? Shall I bring a tree here? A big tree, shall I bring it here before you? Even if that happens, you will not believe it. So many miracles have happened in the world. The people have to be trained to see God in every event. Why only miracle? Every event is a miracle if you want to see the miracles. What is happening to you now is a miracle. Reading of this book itself is a miracle. If you really consider the events and the situation of life, if you just want to see the cause and effect relationship, the very fact that these words come to us now is a miracle. We are impatient, and this impatience, this ignorance, may turn into a great danger and disaster. Don't therefore demand miracles. Miracles in any case will happen. Not that there are no miracles. Miracles are what? The entrance of a higher principle into a lower principle is miracle. In a lower working, when a higher working begins to operate, is a miracle. If with your physical eyes you can see an invisible being, it's a miracle. The invisible being is a higher principle. Your eyes are trained only to see the physical things. If your physical things begin to see the invisible, it's a miracle. This is actually what ought to happen every time, every moment, because invisible exists. And your eyes are capable of seeing, only it is not trained. But when necessary, the Divine also gives you miracles. It is not as if He denies miracles. But does not follow your egoistic demand of miracle, because then He will not be a good teacher. If He follows your egoistic demand and says, now show me miracles, then I'll believe you. He is not in a hurry at all that you should believe in Him. He has a greater purpose. He wants to show you miracles in everyday life, in every moment. What Arjuna saw in Sri Krishna in the battlefield is one of the greatest miracles, in fact. The 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita you should read sometime. How Sri Krishna manifests the divinity in a great splendor, as if thousand suns were blazing at once in the sky. That is how Arjuna describes the vision of Sri Krishna, as if thousand suns had suddenly risen in the sky. That also can happen. But Sri Krishna, before starting His teaching, He didn't say, now look, I am a miraculous God and what I have to tell you, you should obey. No. He took the disciple little by little by little through difficult process of understanding. It is only when He had already a faith in Him, not to create faith in Him, already when He had a faith in Him, that a great miracle happened and He saw the Supreme Divine in physical form. So if Divine does a miracle, it is not because He wants to create faith in you. For a specific purpose, He can always do it. But to show miracle is not the sign of the Master. The sign of the Master is that He shows you miracle even in those things which are familiar. When He makes you train that you see God in everything. I see you and I see God. That is a miracle.